This is ensemble member Tina Landau, and you're listening to the Steppenwolf Theatre Company podcast.
I'm Associate Artistic Director David New, and I'm here today with Alana Arenas.
Hello.
Hi, Alana. We are here. You have just finished the final rehearsal for The Tempest. So you've been previewing for about a week and a half now. Mm-hmm. Done about 8 or 9 performances. But during the day, the cast has come into the theater along with the creative team and Tina Landau, the director, and continued to work on the show. Mm-hmm. And look at technical moments and acting moments and things like that. But, you know, as we were talking just before we started recording, it can be a tricky time because really you're now saying goodbye to the woman who has led you all in the effort of getting the production up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You had not worked with Tina before, right?
I had not worked with Tina before, and I've only heard wonderful things about Tina. And I have the honor of having my own experience with her and adore her. Tina is a brilliant creator. And one of the things that I most cherish about her is that she has the ability to guide actors and allow them to be their own artists. You know, actors want to be their own actors. They want to feel like they have done it, you know. But Tina has the ability to guide actors, but at the same time allow the actor to be an artist for themselves and develop and grow. It's a wonderfully healthy collaborative process because working with Tina, I feel very safe to by myself, develop my work, cultivate my work, and then come in with her and say, this is where I'm at. And her, says, oh, this is good, or wow, I never thought of it that way, or why don't you go in this direction? Everything is just very healthy and constructive. Because you do meet directors who are brilliant, and they are geniuses, and really they are. But then they don't know how to treat people. They have this profound insight into humanity as it is reflected in art, and yet, astonishingly, don't do very well with human beings. And Tina has sort of a very holistic understanding, or just a very holistic sort of demonstration of what the art is for and how we create it.
Yeah, because, of course, you know, the guiding principle, one of our guiding principles at Steppenwolf is the ensemble work ethic, right? The way of working together, which in its simplest form is we're better together than we are on our own. And I think that that always exists amongst the acting companies. But what I think is so striking about the way that Tina works is that she is actually a member of the ensemble mm-hmm. in terms of the effort of getting up. She doesn't stand outside as director mm-hmm. and sort of put the production on the company. She is, as you've described so articulately, an ensemble member who is collaborating with other ensemble members to create the production.
Yes.
I'm sure that, you know, one of the first things that actors tend to do when they're working on a role is to look at the clues that are in the script about who this person is, mm-hmm. what their history has been. And it's a sort of a special circumstance with Miranda in The Tempest, isn't it? Because we know that she has some very early memories when she was, you know, two years old or so. We know of one incident with Caliban on the island before the play begins. And then we see her with her father, Prospero. But in terms of what that life has been, it's really left up to the actor's imagination. Mm-hmm. And so often if you're playing Juliet or Rosalind, you think, well, I have an idea of what that life was like. It was a member of the court, or I grew up in a family, in a society, in a community. But here, it really is wide open in terms of what her life has been. Is that something you spend time thinking about, or do you sort of get on with, you know, what's happening in the play in the moment?
No, actually, the way that I have tried to approach everything about Miranda is from the starting point of this island is her life, and it's all she knows, save for the lessons that, you know, her father makes sure that she has an education, and she has interaction with Caliban, and we've actually talked about whether or not she actually has a relationship with the spirits. And we've come to the conclusion that she knows of spirits, she knows that they exist, but she doesn't have a really direct relationship with them. So her whole world is Prospero and Caliban and books. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think that we know that Miranda has a very active imagination, but I've tried to approach her from the sense of everything is a mystery. And I think that's really beautiful. I really think that investigation can take up all the time of life, really, if you let it in that investigation of what things really are, and to really see and to really experience life will blow you away if we really have the time to do it. You know, in our times, we don't have time for that. But, you know, one of my favorite moments of that experience is when she encounters Ferdinand for the first time, and you know, Stephen Gresh is playing Ferdinand. And I remember one day when we were first working out this scene that Stephen and I, as our characters, were interacting with one another, and I had two of these moments I'll tell you about. Stephen was doing sort of kind of like this thing where he's kind of leaning into me, and all I could just think is that Miranda is thinking like, oh, is this what people do? You know, because I've never seen my father, you know, relate with anybody lovingly besides I don't know, you know? His relationship with Caliban is, it starts out in a loving place, but it's not, you know, he's not married to anybody here. So I don't know. Like, what do people do? And I was telling Stephen that in one of our scenes that I think I was just going to, like, rub my nose, like, up and down his arm so that we see her do these really crazy things because she doesn't have any information that informs her that this is what you should do if you feel a certain way about someone.
But it's interesting because you characterize them as crazy things, but what I love about your performance is there's such a sense of freedom in her movement in her behavior, because is that crazy or is it actually crazy the way people act under the strictures of society?
Right.
I mean, it seems that she's a very natural young woman.
Yes. You know, Tina and I have talked about what we were interested in doing with Miranda. And I know for Tina, it was very important that Miranda reflect her real circumstance. Mm-hmm. Instead of what we put on Miranda, because Miranda is supposed to be an ingenue and she's supposed to be, you know, because she's a young lady in love and Shakespeare. But the reality is, this is someone who's never, she can't even remember the face of another woman, you know? And the only ideas about womanhood she would have would again come from what her father is saying or what she may have read in a book. But still, it is left up to her interpretation. And being that she's in a very natural element, a very spacious, underdeveloped, wide open space, we kind of got the idea that Miranda is of that. That is who she is because that is her environment. There isn't anything to tell her that she should be small and demure and refined and
self-conscious or controlled in any way.
Exactly.
So I'm interested because you said that you had talked about the fact that you have a relationship with Caliban in addition to your father, and we know that you taught him to read and that he made sort of unwholesome advances towards you. But why would you imagine that Ariel occupies a different kind of land that you aren't aware of or that you don't have a relationship there?
Well, the interesting thing is that Prospero talks about being Miranda's schoolmaster, okay? So we know that Prospero teaches her, okay? Mm-hmm. And we know that just about everything she knows has to come from his teaching. She's a very bright young lady. And yet, she doesn't know anything about magic. So her father has taught her all of this stuff, but you will not deal with this magic.
I see.
And one of the very first things that she says in the play, you know, she comes in and she talks about the storm. If you're doing this by your art, she doesn't say my art, she doesn't say our art. If you're doing this by this thing that you do, you need to stop it. And then finally, at the end of the monologue, she says, had I been any god of power, should I have the capability to deal in these things that you do, I wouldn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very big discovery in the beginning of the rehearsal process, that he teaches her everything, because throughout certain references in the show, you learn that, oh, she has knowledge of this, she has knowledge of that. She's very capable of following the plot of how we got to this island. So she's very quick, like, oh, that happened. Oh, my God, that he made Milan subject to Naples. Oh, my God, he did this, he did that. And yet, the whole idea of magic is off limits for her.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time Prospero gets to the end of the play and he says, all of my charms are o'erthrown, and whatever power I have, it's mine. There's such a wonderful transition that Prospero goes through, and I love this when he tells Ariel to bring them, I'm gonna let them be themselves. And I feel like maybe that's at the heart of why Miranda doesn't get exposed to the magic, because somewhere there is a knowledge of you need to let people be themselves.
That's so beautiful, because it has a counterpart, right? So if you're saying, Miranda at the beginning is saying, I'm mortal, I don't have magic power, but if I did,
yeah,
I wouldn't do it. And later on, we have Ariel, who has magic, but not humanity. And he says, I don't have humanity, but if I did, I would feel something for these people who are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting the way that Miranda and Ariel are both contributing to Prospero's change of heart about how he's exercising his powers, his magic, and also his intention towards revenge or payback. Both of them say, I don't have that, but if I did, right?
Exactly.
And on some level,
exactly,
Prospero understands that.
Yeah. I love that whole scene where he says, you know, hast thou, which art but you know, I can't remember the line, but a feeling, a touch, that to me, that, you know, it's a beautiful moment. And today Tina had us go around before we did our viewpoints and say lines from the play that struck out to us and that are kind of on our minds and hearts right now. And I did too, but one of mine was at the end of the play where Prospero says, I had him say the line because I can't remember the beginning of it, but the very end of it is to assault mercy, to assault mercy. And it even makes me tear up now. When I think about, I feel like all of us have experienced times in our life where we've been so sorry for a first mind or a first thought and have repented so deeply that you are in need of assaulting mercy. I need to be free from this shame, from this guilt, from this regret of having first thought or felt or done a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the play, it's such a humble sort of state that Prospero is in, and he's undergone this amazing sea change.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, your work is really lovely, and I know that our audiences are going to have a really rare experience when they come to see The Tempest. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you so very much, David.
And Break a Leg, opening night on Sunday.
Thank you. Thank
We're in for a great run. If you want more information about Steppenwolf's production of The Tempest, you can visit www.steppenwolf.org.
AT&T is the sponsor of online content at steppenwolf.org.